for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, July the 5th, 2003. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Leroy of Toronto, Canada, is the minister.
As I was walking back to the house today, the Lord spoke to me and said, carriers of the presence of God. And this scripture came to me in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, indicating the point reached when we come unto him. And he says, all ye that labor, the feel fatigue. You ever been there? Spiritual fatigue, weary. And he says, you that are feeling this way, come unto me, come unto me. And if you're heavy laden, you're overburdened. Some here have been overburdened with religious ceremony, trying to touch God, trying to do the best God wants them to do, but falling short of the truth of the word to help bring them into the place of rest. And then there's a lot of spiritual anxiety. That's a burden that so many of God's people carry. They're heavy laden with spiritual anxiety. You know, you can get to a deliverance place, and I can remember as a young pastor in D.C., Southeast Maryland, we'd send busloads from the church down to the Full Gospel International Businessmen. And I can remember as these men stood up behind the table, those big banquet tables they had, and they give testimony. And what they shared was wonderful. I mean, here they, God had prospered them in their businesses, and some were millionaires, and God had met them here, and God had met them there. And as a young pastor, taking it all in and getting on my knees and saying, oh God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Lord, these men are blessed and they're healed and all these things are happening. And yet as pastoring of a church, you carry the spiritual anxiety and the people carry it and they go to these meetings to be refreshed. And rather than have a positive effect many times, it had a negative effect on me. And I would begin to search my heart. What am I doing wrong? What do I need to do right? The time comes when the Lord comes to where you are, right where you are. He picks you up and carries you a little farther. And the time comes when you stop looking at people. You stop looking at them. And you say, Lord, it's you and me. I want rest. I want rest. I want refreshing. Now, I have lots on that, but I can't go into it tonight. But you go into the book of Hebrews, and he talks about this rest. There's a rest for the people of God. And the beautiful part of it is you cease from your own labors. Doesn't mean to say you stop working. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, you come into me. You come into this rest or abiding. I'll take it from there. That's why that Galatians 2:20 is my favorite scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He does. He lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't have to exercise any faith. I don't have any. How can a dead man have faith? Just can't have it. And how many times have you been prayed for, or you see people pray and they leave and, oh, I hope I'm healed. And then if they're not healed, somebody says, you just didn't have enough faith. Didn't have enough faith. Nothing to do with you. God's sovereign in all of this. God's sovereign. In one of the Catherine Kuhlman's meetings in D.C., when the international businessmen had her there, sent some busloads of women down, and they, some of them took up some of the front row. One lady had saved a seat for a friend that was going to be late. Well, in those meetings, I mean, the ballrooms were packed out. People were waiting outside the doors to get in. No room. So she said to one of our church ladies, "You wait here, and I'll go back and see if I can find her. I want to show you how God moves without a struggle." So she went to the back looking for a friend, didn't see her, but she saw this little lady with a cane who was trying to get in. It was being kept out. There was no room. So the Lord directed her to this lady, and she said, "Do you want to come into the service?" The lady said, "Yes, I'm Roman Catholic. I want to come." So she brought her in and sat her right at the front in that vacant chair. Catherine Kuhlman came out. You know the, "Have you been waiting for me?" Precious lady. And she started to pray, and when she prayed, she stopped and said, "There's someone here who's being healed of a heart condition." And that little Roman Catholic lady jumped up and said, "That's me," and walked up and gave her a pill box with 22 pills in it and said, "God's healed me." She was really healed. She had the test, but Our Lady kept in touch, and every time one of Our Ladies would phone, she seemed to be having a battle. But the time came when everything was fine, and she shared testimony in our church of what God could do. Now, she didn't struggle to try to find a seat. You know, it was there already, and we've got to come to the place. We have to come to the place where when God leads us, when we're led by the Spirit, God will have provided a way for us. Because He's in here. And this is why I keep saying this is the great mystery. Christ in you. The hope of glory in you. He's doing things. He's building His kingdom. He's building His life in you. And so if we subordinate ourselves and allow Him to take over our lives, somebody says, "That's not easy." Well, that's why He gives you the scripture. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God." Not peace with God. You got that when you were born again. But the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Somebody said, "Well, I believe that's why we have, you know, pastors having heart attacks. This is why we're having pastors' wives divorce their husbands." Stress, anxiety, spiritual, religious ceremony, but not spiritual, unspiritual. Trying to accomplish and do everything and get it done, because if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. How can a dead man get it done? I mean, I have a hard time understanding that. He'll get it done, and He'll do more in 30 minutes than you'll do in 30 years when He starts working. He'll get it done. And then He goes on to say, "Take my yoke." Take my yoke, the coupling of the beam of the balance as connecting those scales. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." But the only yoke I know is the yoke of the Spirit. "Take my yoke upon you." And He says, "And understand me." Learn. Understand me. Learn of me, for I am gentle. Oh, I thought He was hard on me. You know, I missed prayer. And we walk around with a guilt trip and think, I'm backslidden. If you're weary, you're no good in prayer anyway, half the time. I've been there. I've gone to bed tired lots of times and started to pray. Next thing it was morning. I don't know where I was, but I was sleeping. But His Spirit will re-quicken. His Spirit will vitalize. But He says, I'm gentle. I'm humble. He's not out here to beat you to death. He's not out to condemn you. He knows your heart. He knows what you need. And He lives in here. Who's the best one to know but the proprietor of the temple? And He investigates everything. I was telling someone today, hey, whatever's down there, He'll investigate it. And then all of a sudden something happens outside or at the job or at home and, oh my, you happen to get angry or you feel something, or maybe you just tell a lie. And the Lord comes along and He says, listen, all things, not some things, all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. And the word purpose in the Greek is showbread. But you said, I just told a lie. The Lord said, I know that. I live here. And I've allowed those circumstances as a catalyst. Dig down in here, bring you to a confrontation, so either you'll tell the truth or tell a lie. You told a lie. I knew that ahead of time. Now all I want you to do is say, Lord, forgive me, and get rid of it. Get rid of that lying spirit. And this is the way we grow. I'm not saying that, hey, we should just go ahead and do all these things that are wrong. But God knows the deepness and the deceitfulness of our heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search your heart. There was a scripture, I think Brother Doc said it. But he came to destroy the works of the devil. And the word destroy means he breaks it down into the very constituent particles of your being, right down to the atoms, right into the marrow. He goes that deep into your life, knowing what you need physically, what you need spiritually, what you need mentally. And all he does is ask you to love him, love each other. I show you a more excellent way, he says. And he says, my yoke is easy. It's going to furnish what is needed for you. And my burden is light. Oh, God, you don't know my church. Burden. Well, the Lord says, well, you're carrying it. Let me do the work. Yeah, but you have never, Lord, seen brother so-and-so. God said, look, I baptized him in my spirit and I live in his life. Yeah, but if that's the case and he's a Pentecostal Christian and he's speaking in tongues, how's this happening, God? I'm working on him. Just like I'm working on you. I'm working on you. But give me time. Give him time. He's a little more stubborn. And I've learned God's too big to fight. You know, there are times that I've had temper tantrums and the Lord doesn't say a word. And I get more upset and have more temper tantrums. And after I've worn out, somewhere in the next day or so, God answers me. He's now he can talk to me. He couldn't talk to me before. I was too upset. Tells me what the problem was or what the problem is. How does it happen? How does all this happen? When God showed me that baptism in the Holy Ghost is so very, you cannot walk with God without it. You can't have that. Oh, you say, well, I know lots of Christians. And one of the questions that came up to me when I was praying about it and studying, I'm looking and I'm saying, hey, now Jesus, we know, I believed in him in Calvary and he's buried and resurrected and I was born again and now he's Christ. Now Christ has come in here. See, there's a little scripture. I don't know whether we really say much about it, but I want you to look at it with me. 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Now I thought, well, is he talking about demon power? Or is he talking about man's spirit? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's not hard, Pastor. We know Jesus came and as a baby born of a virgin and walked the 33 years or so in human flesh. We certainly know he came in the flesh. He is not talking about that. He is asking, did Jesus Christ come in your flesh? This is the great mystery, Christ in you. Well, how did Christ get into me other than through the Spirit of God coming in? Because when I read the scriptures, it says repent and be baptized for something, indicating the future thing. So I repented and I was baptized in water. But as I grew, the Lord showed me that I needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit because Christ wants to come into my temple because he wants to have a remission or a sending away of sin. Those dead works that are in our conscience. That's what deliverance is about. Circumcision by the Spirit. They're first the natural, that's the scripture, first the natural, then the spiritual. And we know the natural took place in Israel, circumcision of the flesh. But the Lord says, there is a circumcision of the spirit. And this is the countertype to the baptism that he talks about in Peter about Noah being saved so as by water. Not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but of the answer of a clear conscience or a good conscience through Jesus Christ by the resurrection. Why? I don't know why it's so hard, and why I know why churches fight it. Because the devil does not want Christ walking through the Spirit in people's temples. The treasure is in earthen vessels. And this Christ that's in here is going to manifest through his body. And so he says, receive me. I'll prove it to you from Scripture. He says, I was with you, I'll be in you. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Christ comes. And when he comes, he takes over. He's the new proprietor. If any man be where? In Christ. So what do I go by faith in, and I'm in him. When I get up in the morning, I put the armor on. The armor on. Sinking into a garment, so that now I'm in him, I have subordinated my thinking, and I say, now Lord, you walk in me. You live in me. You dwell in me. And I'll do what I have to do, but if something arises that I need some wisdom, then give me a word. Oh, but I might need knowledge, then give me a word, Lord. Give me a word. I'm trying to think of when I had a social worked with hippies, draft dodgers, kids that were on drugs. We would channel 200 a night through the coffee house. We had workers and we'd talk and I'd preach and somebody yelled out, what's this young kids? What do you call them? They were getting involved in all these things, and I can't remember what happened, but I stood there for a minute and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost gave me the answer to all of these unsaved kids. It just flowed out. And they all started clapping. It wasn't my wisdom and it wasn't my knowledge. It came out. I was at a full gospel businessman in Washington, and one of my friends, we were in the restaurant, and he was sitting there, and God had just met me. I had come into deliverance, and I was with my mom at home, and she was sick, and I had a businessman fly me down. But in the process, a doctor's son, whom I knew very well, he had sent a check. He'd gone to one of the churches I'd pastored and said, I want you to send this check to Brother Leroy. And that was the morning or the day that the Lord spoke to me and said, go down and get the mail. And when I went down to get the mail, there was a letter there from the bank saying I was a good credit risk. They didn't know my condition, believe me. The other letter was a check for $1,500. So I got to the full gospel businessman by another businessman paying my way, sitting in the restaurant with this fellow from Washington State. I'm sitting there, and my wife is there, and we're talking, and he said, you know, George, he said, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I can't pay the next mortgage payment. Now I'm sitting there. Out of nowhere, my mouth starts to flap. I'll take care of it. I'm looking around. Who's the ventriloquist, you know? And my wife, she looked like somebody had run over with a Mack truck. I didn't even know how much it was. So I said, that wasn't me. It had to be God. So I said, fine, when I get back, I'll send you a check. How much was it? And I think it was $350 or $400. Then in the check. I met him a few years later. He said, George, ever since you sent me that money, I have never needed another penny.
Did he pay you back?
Didn't ask him for it. Never thought of it. But that's a good thought. With all the interest now, I could get a bundle, couldn't I? But it's him. It's him. It wasn't my money in the first place. Somebody sent me $1,500. The Lord said, well, let's not get greedy. Share it. I hadn't any intention of doing it, but he made me. What am I going to do? He just... Give me those back, those words, you know. There isn't anything God can't do.
Right.
Nothing.
Yep.
But he can do it. I indeed baptize you with water unto, indicating the point reached or entered. That's what the word means. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. We've been there. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. Well, this is deliverance, and he will thoroughly cleanse his floor. Deliverance. And gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I want you to turn with me to John 14. But before I go, let's look at Hebrews, or 1 John 4 again. A second verse. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And when people start to say the Holy Spirit experience and the speaking in tongues is of the devil, that's Antichrist. That's Antichrist. Anti-anointing. In John, turn with me, John 14, 16 through 18. In fact, I get into this stuff and I'm going to say it's 14, 16. I tell you, there's so much truth in the Word of God. It's just, here I am, 70 years of age, and I'm just learning stuff. I mean, I feel like a baby. The Lord said, well, it took about 69 and a half years to get all theology out of your head. Painful. No wonder I had headaches down here, brother, all the stuff was going on. Remember how sick I was? God was possibly purging my head then. Some of the stuff that shouldn't have been in there. Anyway, John 14, look at verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not? Now notice that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Mm-hmm. He had a treasure in an earthen vessel. Mm-hmm. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Oh. And then he goes on to say, but the Father that dwelleth in me, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. That's why we wonder, there's no wondering why Jesus, when they called and said, Lazarus, your good friend is dying, he's sick unto death, and Jesus stayed there 3 or 4 days, I just forget what it was. The Father hadn't told him to go. He's waiting for the Spirit to speak. The time comes, the Lord, the Father talks to him, and out he goes. And now by this time, as you know, I both know, Lazarus is dead and stinketh. Well, they walk away, and he says, I want you to take the rock away. And then he says, now, Lord, I'm going to pray. Father, I'm going to pray, but it's not because I know you don't hear me. He'd already had this relationship together. He already knew before he went. But he said, I pray for these who didn't have that same relationship. Now somebody said, well, when he could have called everybody out. No, he could not have called everybody out. He could only call Lazarus out because that Lazarus was the one the Father said, call him out, raise the dead. Couldn't call anybody else. He was subservient and obedient to the Father, the Spirit of holiness in there. And he was not presumptuous either. He did exactly what he was told to do. That's why he says it. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, now notice, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, this is important, the works that who does? I do. Where is he? In here. The works that I do shall you do. Because all you're doing is what he's doing. He's in there. So he says, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Because now he's been crucified, now he's been resurrected, and the devil had no idea of God's plan of wisdom, that this same Christ who went into the, Jesus who went into the ground and died, has brought forth sons, and they're bringing forth sons in his image, and they're going to do the same thing. So he wasn't dealing with one Christ, he was dealing with multi-millions of them. Amen. Around the world. He didn't know that plan. If he had, it says, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But it's the mystery. This mystery's in here. Christ in you. And so we find out as you go on here, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, in is a fixed position. I am in him. In him. I'm dwelling in him. I'm living in him. I'm walking in him. This is what he's saying. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Not you, him. He'll do it. You're asking because you're asking in him. There's a union there. There's a relationship. There's an intimacy there. And so he says, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In the name of Jesus is not a formula. It's a living, moving Spirit of God because the Father answers that. Because Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus was sinless. Jesus was the one that was crucified. It was Jesus who now has become Christ, who now dwells in you. And so I approach the Father in His name, but I'm in Him. And I say, Father, and He's looking at His Son. And I'm hidden in his Son. And the Father says, I'll do it. I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I love him. How I love him. He's so gentle. He's just so beautiful. I don't know what I'd do without him. I remember that when I was in Washington and Jim and Leilani were in the church, he was a legislative assistant at the time. We were staying in a church rambler parsonage. My wife was very sick. We thought she had leukemia. She was bedridden and I was depressed. So this one night I said to my wife, honey, I'm going for a drive, going over to Jim and Leilani's. Got in the car and drove over to Jim and Leilani Watts and got in and she opened the door. First words out of her mouth, what are you doing here? Oh, you're not supposed to be here. She let me in. She said, as I was praying and God spoke to me and said there had to be, I'm trying to think now, there's one, two, three, either four or five would come to the apartment, five of us. We were to pray, go over to your house. March around the parsonage seven times. Go into the house. One brother was to read the scriptures. We were to lay hands on your wife and God would heal her. Of course, I was the pastor. God hadn't told me that. What in the world are you telling her for? Yeah, come on. Of course, I thought, well, feel that way about it. But I'm the pastor. So I sat down. We waited and my friend, who's an aeronautical engineer, he's retired from the Navy Department. He came. Jim came home, and there was Leilani. Let me see, that's one. I was four. I guess it was supposed to be four. But by my coming, it would be five. So she's waiting for this office manager from one of the telephone companies in D.C. to come. Christian guy. Suddenly the phone rings, and she gets off the phone, and she looks at me with a big smile. Now I know why you're here. She said, Romy can't come. That's why you're here. I get feeling better all the time. God included me in the plan a little bit, you know. I kind of felt rejected. Where's the pastor? So we pack into the car and I get in mine and over to the house we go. And it was a 7-room rambler. Across the street was a pharmacist. Next to me was my Bible class teacher. He was Professor Tavani. Down the street was the contractor that had built these ramblers. And it's kind of a misty night with rain, and I thank God for that. Believe me. Can you imagine? I don't know whether, Jim, if you hear this tape, you'll really appreciate this or not. But, you know, Jim's a lawyer. He's a great guy. He's one of my best friends. He'll call me and he'll send an email on the computer and say, George, where are you? Or he'll phone me or I'll phone him. So here we are. Get out of the car. Now, Lonnie says, you know what we have to do? We've got to walk around the house, and you have to raise your hands and speak in tongues. Seven. This is like Jericho. We're walking around the house. I can still see, poor Jim. Can you imagine what the president would have thought? Just legit. Even Senator Simpson from Wyoming, if he'd have seen Jim walking around the house speaking in tongues with his hands up, thank God there was nobody there that knew him. Believe me. He's walking around, we're all walking around, and finally, you know, Jim, he's getting into the spirit now. Yeah. My poor wife, she hears that she's in bed. She doesn't know what's going on. Dear lady, she gets up and sits at the bay window and looks out, and all she can hear is somebody to cup out on each of these people, Pentecostals, walking around with their hands up. Then finally she realized what was happening. She opened the door. When it was time, we all came in. The one with the healing scriptures, he sat down and he was reading those scriptures. I'm standing there dumbfounded, and Leilani and Jim pray. And the funny thing about it, God healed her. God healed her. God healed her. He knows what's happening. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to go. Leilani said I wasn't. God says you go. She didn't know that this man wasn't going to be there, that I had to be the other person, the fourth person. Here I was depressed, anxious. You ever been there? Oh, all the bills. Oh, God. You know, Lord, you know I have paid my tithe. I've been faithful. I've even given an offering, and I've sacrificed. I didn't expect the car to break down. What am I going to do? And oh my, you get out of sorts, and your husband or your wife comes in and, what do you want? Believe me, God knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly where you are, and he'll do the work if you'll allow him to. So then he goes on, I'll pray the Father. If you love me, keep my commandments, you know. I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you a different, it says another, but it's a different comforter, that he may abide with you forever. No wonder the devil fights this. Because we're bringing into this temple a treasure, an entity, by faith, that will speak. You know, do you know that there's a fellowship and a communion and a partnership with him? That you can walk like, look at Peter. My goodness, Peter walked and there was so much of the presence of God. He was such a carrier of God's presence that he just walked and the shadow fell and people are healed. You know, they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything unless the Spirit said, do it. But we've been so conditioned, pastors as well as people, because the pastors condition the people. And we get so busy. Now, hey, I'm not saying you don't work. I'm not saying you shouldn't do the service. And I believe God has, just like here, God has given committed people here, the workers. But I'm telling you, it has to be a ministry. You got a man, Bill, goes out here on the tractor or whatever, and they collect the garbage, and he does it. You got people in that kitchen. I've seen Kevin come out and others soaking wet with the heat. We walk in and it's all done, and I trust you don't say, is that all we're getting for $4 or $3? These people have got to have a ministry. This isn't a job. This is a ministry. This brother, good old Doc, he almost puts me on a guilt trip every time I see him. Because I know he's up at 5, he's got to be up at 5 to get here at 6. What am I doing? I'm laying before the Lord. That's what I'm laying before the Lord. At least that's a spiritual answer I could give him. I'm laying on my bed. So when he comes down to where he can get hold of me down there, didn't see up there praying. God, you had to say that. Oh. What am I going to tell them? Too tired? Oh, I was. Well, glory to God, I really was. This man is, how can I say, it's God in him. It has to be. You can't do what he does every morning. And then I can, and he's teaching. He's already been down here praying and people are getting freed, and then an hour or 2 hours, whatever it is, man, he's teaching. So at least to be kind, I get in for the morning teaching. I'm glad he's younger than I am. I don't say that to him, to Glenn, because there's just no way I can put up with this man. Really, I can't. But it's a ministry. It's the Spirit in these men. It's the Spirit in these people back here, handling the phone calls, and we take it for granted. No. I love them for what they do. I thank God they have a heart that reaches out to people who need help. And we need help. That's why we're all here. Oh, my dear, I will not leave you an orphan. That's what it means when he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I won't leave you an orphan. I will come to you. I have so much scripture, I can go here at 1 o'clock. Believe me, I tell you, it gets so good. In fact, somebody said it gets gooder and gooder. And I'm getting to believe that. In John 16, verse 13, howbeit, John 16:13, howbeit when he, now remember, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. When he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will what? He'll drive you into all truth. Is that what it said in your Bible? No. He'll lead the way. Well, if he's in you, and you're in him, and abiding, and living, and resting, then when he leads you, you're going to be with him. And he'll lead you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Ah, beloved. You have need that no man teach you, but the anointing that abideth in you will teach you all things. And then you lay it before your brethren. But he's there. Now, look at Acts chapter 1. I want you to notice, and I'm sure these are not new things to you, but in the second verse, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, Christ, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. If he hadn't received the kingdom yet. See, he says, I'll give unto you a kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace. Well, that's what we want. And joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God does not come in word only, but with power. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto rescue, unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, because first you have to be born again to faith. This is his work. And then he goes on here. Being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, baptism of repentance. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Why? So this Christ, this mystery would come in. So this treasure is in an earthen vessel. That's why. And so this treasure that's in an earthen vessel will begin to circumcise you, deliverance, cut away the flesh, cut away those things that are troubling you, because you have been forgiven. That's what Calvary did. It forgave us. That's what repentance is. But there's a remitting, there's a remission, and only the Spirit of God. He'll cleanse your conscience from dead works. Now, the big problem is a lot of people allow those dead works to resurrect. They were dead, they were inoperative, but something happens and they let them up and they continue to work with it and do it, and then they're truly in bondage. What the Lord Jesus wants is that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of holiness, this wonderful, wonderful Christ, clean us up on the inside. And just to prove it to you, and of course you know the scriptures as well as I do, look at, keep where you are, and I'll just turn to John here for a minute. And look what he says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch where? In me. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, oh my, now I'm really anxious. No, just subordinate yourself, dwell in Him, abide in Him, rest in Him, and He'll work, and you'll start to bear fruit. And then He goes on to say here, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. He taketh away every branch that beareth fruit. What does He do? He purges, and purge means cleanse. And cleanse means circumcision, deliverance. He does it other ways. But we, you and I, there are some, listen, if we could do it all with God, I wouldn't need you. So because we're members of the same body, then we help each other. We wash each other's walk. You know that part? Jesus takes His apron and He's going to wash the disciples' feet, and He gets to Peter, and Peter says, oh my Lord, wash all of me. And the Lord said, you're already clean, but I'll wash your feet. Well, what a feet are a type of your Christian walk. And He says, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you will later. Oh man, it wasn't hard to understand. He's washing their feet. But the spiritual aspects of it was, we'll come confess your what? Faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. That's washing one another's walk. And so the Lord's talking about it here. He says, now, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. And what does it do when He cleanses it? It brings forth more fruit. That's good. Now, and this is a scripture He gave to me when He delivered me sovereignly. Now you are clean because I heard the Spirit speak. Go into the washroom. And I went into the washroom and I threw up. Didn't like it, but I did. You know, it's a dirty, this deliverance thing, this dung gate gets dirty. Cleaning out the garbage of our lives. That, there's a lot of stuff in there sometimes, and it's dirty. But He goes on, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Now look at verse 4 of John 15. Abide or stay in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. You have to abide in Him. He wants to dwell and abide in you. And when this happens, there's a communication, there's a union, there's an intimacy. Things begin to happen. And He says, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. See, now you start off with fruit and getting deliverance and getting cleaned up. Now you're bringing forth more fruit. Now you're learning, hey, I need to walk and live and abide in Him. Stay there. And then I'll bring forth much fruit. And then you become carriers of the presence of God. Carriers of His presence. Just walking. And when you, and I told you, I go to the malls times, I'll stand there, my wife will be in shopping, and I'm praying, Lord, is there anyone here that needs help? Trying to listen. If He said yes, go down there. There's someone needs to be brought to the Lord. Well, who did that? Philip did that. Lord spoke to Philip. Oh, yeah, but that was early Pentecost. Well, we're coming back into this realm of the Spirit. Things that were lost are coming back. It's coming in fullness. And as the world waxes worse and worse, we're going to have a standard raised against the enemy. And we're coming into it. All we need to do is be sure we're clean and abiding and dwelling and living in Him and having a relationship and going the more excellent way. Loving one another. Huh? Loving one another. I think it was Chris or the prophet, one of them. He just said, look, get out of the way. Let God do it. And if there are fivefold ministries for the perfecting of the church, for what? For the work of the ministry. That's what it's for. I can't do it, man. I'll tell you, I was in Indonesia, and I had, when we were casting out devils in Sarawak, in Indonesia, we had so many people coming. But I had been to a college before that, and pastors and their wives were getting delivered, so I brought them over to Surabaya, I think it was Surabaya, and we got into this auditorium, and I said, now we'll set up chairs, and we sat 40 chairs up with 40 workers. And they were laying hands, casting out devils, and it got so bad, the filth, that they had to cut these huge, big cardboard boxes and put them on the floor. It was so slippery with slime. I couldn't have done it. But all these workers, along with myself, we saw God do something. Who took the credit? The Lord. He was in every one of those 40 workers. Same spirit, same desire to see God's people free. And we did it together. Well, let me just quote a couple of scriptures. Now the Lord is that Spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 3:17. And where or at which place the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then we go on. And Paul says how that by revelation, disclosure, taking off the cover, he made known absolutely unto me the mystery of, that I've written afore in a few words, the mystery Christ in him. He revealed Christ to Paul. He says, when he revealed his Son in me. And he says, I travail again that Christ might be formed in you. And so he goes on. And make all men to see what is the fellowship or the partnership or the participation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Well, it's a great mystery. Tonight, he's in your temple. How many are baptized here with the Holy Ghost? Let me see. How many are not? Whom? All right. Let me give you a scripture here. I'm so glad you asked. Oh, my dear. Where if I can find the one I'm looking for? Okay. He says, O foolish Galatians chapter 3, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently been set forth, crucified among you? This only, he says, would I learn of you. Received, now he's talking to the Galatians church, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, as you sit here tonight, hear me. And you hear the Spirit speak to you. And you need healing, and the Spirit speaks, you can have healing. You'll do it. If you need deliverance, and you're ready, you want those things gone, and you hear Him speak. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. And if you want the baptism in the Spirit, all you do, close yourself in. Say, Lord, I hear by the Spirit, and I want you in this temple. This is the earnest of my inheritance. Believe me. When I think of what's coming, when I think of this house that He's got in heaven, going to come down and come down over me, or come out and surround me, envelop me, and I can give you scripture for it. And if you're not in that place, then you'll walk naked. Can you imagine walking naked, running around, and you're telling people, "Oh, I'm a born again Christian, bless God, I'm this, I'm that, and other thing," and all, and you walk naked, and who's going to see your shame? Everybody around, you'll see your shame if you're not ready. So tonight, He's here. But I don't feel Him. Listen, He's here. And what He wants you to do is close yourself in. I'm going to have the organist come, beautiful organist that plays so well, and the pianist come too if you would desire to, dear. It's up to you. And the guitar. And I wonder what I want you to do for a moment. I don't want to keep you late. But, beloved, close yourself in and start to breathe in of His presence. Just close yourself in. If you need deliverance, breathe in and then breathe out. If you need the Holy Ghost, breathe Him in. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Dear, if I hand... You have any trouble taking that? Free gift. And that's the way the Holy Ghost is. You don't have to struggle. Just breathe Him in. Close yourself and breathe them in. Get your mind on the Lord. I prayed for a Presbyterian pastor one time as he knelt at the altar. And he'd get so far and then he'd give up. And I'd say, what goes on? He said, well, I get so far as I'm moving in and then a thought comes and I'm going back to the mission field. And I said, that thought is distracting you from seeing Jesus Christ. Just breathe them in. Come on. Breathe them in. Close yourself in. If you need healing, ask God to do the work that you'll have, that you'll hear faith. You'll hear this. Listen to the Spirit. As our music plays, I just want you to listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Now, Lord, we're going to wait on you. And Father, there are those here tonight that need to receive the infilling of your Spirit. We're asking you tonight, as they heard the word, that faith has been developed and built up within them, Lord, and they're willing to just abandon themselves to you now and receive the free gift of God. And deliverance as well. Just take and ask God to set you free. And if it's healing you need, ask God to do the work of healing. Let him do, he's inside of you. They're Pentecostal. They've had the experience. He's already there. Let him do the work. Let him do the work. Just fill them, Lord. Just deep breaths. Just like you're drinking water. Deep breath. Breathing fresh air in. I said, just breathe in. Open that mouth and breathe him in. Breathe him in. Go ahead. Breathe him in. Close yourself in. That's it. Breathe in. Deep breath. That's it. Right down to the innermost part of your being. Come unto me, and out of your belly shall, and drink, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He wants to fill you full of his Spirit. Right now, breathe him in. Breathe him in. That's it. Breathe him in. Come on, brother. I renounce the spirit of anger. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to breathe in and breathe it out. Let it go. In the name of Jesus, we command that spirit to loose and be gone. Come out of him. Come out of Clovis in Jesus' name. He wants to be free. Just relax, brother, and let that thing go. In Jesus' name, you've had other deliverances. This is no harder. In Jesus' name, set him free tonight, Lord. Loose him, tormenting spirit. Loose him and let him go tonight in Jesus' name. Deep breath right down to end. Push it out of there. You're fed up with it. You want it to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Breathe him in and breathe out. Loose him. Loose him, you foul, tormenting spirit. Deep breath, Clovis, and get rid of that thing. Let Jesus Christ take it out. In Jesus' name, touch our sister tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, take away the doubt tonight. Lord, any doubt, we just ask you to take it away tonight. In Jesus' name, Father, you've called them both to ministry. So we're asking you to do the work now. Complete work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. That's it, close. Just keep closing him with God. Closing him with God. Let God have his way there. Let him have his way. Close yourself in. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind that spirit that feels unloved in this girl. In the name of Jesus Christ, we break that wall down, Father. We break the wall down. Lord, fear, that fear of being loved, I command that it go in Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, loose her and let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Oh, fill him, Lord. Fill him, Father. Confirm your word with signs following. In Jesus' name, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Just breathe in, dear. Just as you feel, just start to speak in tongues. And as you start, God will just let that river begin to flow. Oh, Shafakorenitsananainda. Oh, Lord, Karenibitsata pranaita. Findoritichilapon, the Shikaladatalabona. Fill her, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Lord, fill this couple with that treasure in earthen vessels. We want it in, Lord, the earnest of their inheritance tonight. Oh, Father, that's it, dear. Don't be afraid to speak it out. Cry out to Him. I want to be filled, Lord. Fill me. Fill me, Lord. That's it. Don't worry about anybody else. Fill me. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jacoridisaparanafaradomni. Speak it out, dear. In the name of Jesus. Spindirikatharinisadarando. That's it. I want to be filled, Lord. Give me the language as evidence of your coming. Oh, Pranisa. That's it. Go on. Speak it out, brother. Fakatorinina. Pridisandaforadind. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And they began to speak. They began to speak in Jesus' name. In Bigatoridisataparanantofradine. In the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Huh?
Hallelujah.
Feeling pressure?
Yes. No.
Feel it? Feel pressure go? Oh, praise the Lord.
That's it, dear. Let it come. Let the anointing come. Close yourself in. That's it. Fill me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. I want to be baptized in your Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. You know, just center your mind on Jesus Christ right now. Fill me, Lord. Come into my life. Akorinitsa. Akoriticha pabanda ritisa paranambobolanante. Lucha kanaita sabidora. Oh, Jesus, let her speak with words from the Spirit of God. Don't be afraid to speak out. Don't be afraid to speak out. In the name of Jesus, it'll sound strange, but let it come. That's it. Lay hands on it. Hallelujah. 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 He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Hallelujah, 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 Lord, hallelujah, Lord, fill her, Lord.
Fill her with Thy Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give her the desire of her heart, Lord. It's a free gift. And she reaches out by this and takes it from the hand of God. This free gift, Lord, she takes and receives. She receives. That's it. Keep yourself in.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com/online.com.
There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.